Okay, people. Yes, yes, yes. It's about that time. It's another episode of Echo Chamber. And, yo, we're going to start off as we do with a look at the weekend box office top 10 for the 3rd to the 5th of March, which definitely was a fly weekend. But yeah, that's for different reasons. Alright. So at number 10, right, we start off with Heaven in Hell. This is the new film from Tomas Mendez, who co-wrote it with Magica Tears, starring Magdalena Bocazasca, Simone Cicerina, Janusz Kabir, Sebastian Fabijanski. I have no clue what this is. But yeah, it's the number 10 film this week. Last week. You know what I mean? At number 9 is Epic Tales. This is the new one from co-directors and writers John Francis Tutsi, Eric Tutsi, and David Alahu. Right? It's got a voice cast of Casey Chase, Christophe Lemune, Emmanuel Curtil, Michael Tayu, France Config. Right, so that means our number 8 film still in the top 10, doing its thing, making a whole boatload of cash. It's Avatar: The Way of Water. Right, James Cameron is back. He co-wrote it with Rick Jaffa and Amanda Silver, and we've got Zoe Saldana, Kate Winslet, Sam Worthington, Sigourney Weaver, Stephen Lang, Giovanni Ribisi, Chloe Coleman, Bailey Bass, right? All doing their thing. So our number 7 film, right, is Magic Mike, Mike's Last Dance. Right, so we got Steven Soderbergh directing, Reed Caroline writing, Channing Tatum, Salma Hayek, Kathleen Gerard, Nancy Carroll, Christy Lee Embley, Casey Ilana Stisius, Gavin Spooks, you know what I mean? All doing their thing. So at number 6, Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yabia, right? Which I think means to the swordsmith. To the swordsmith village, anyway. I'm not sure. Right? So this is directed by Haru Sotizaki and written by Koiparu Gotayuge. Oh man, I know I'm butchering their names today. Right, this is a voice cast of Stephen Fu, Lucien Dodge, Greg Chun, Ray Chase, Griffin Burns, Kira Buckland, and Zach Aglia. So we are now in our top 5, right? And at number 5 is Skiha Kapoor's and Jemima Khan's What's Love Got to Do with It, right? So this is starring Lily James, Emma Thompson, Shahzad Latif, Oliver Chris, Nosheen Phoenix, Shabana Azimi, Aziz Chowdhury, Alice or Ewing. All right, at number four, it's Cocaine Bear, right? Elizabeth Bank directs, Jimmy Warden writes. And we got Ray Liotta, Kerry Russell, Margot Martindale, Aidan Emmerich, Matthew Rhys, Christopher Hivaju, Isaiah Whitlock Jr., O'Shea Jackson Jr., Brooklyn Prince, right? At number three, we have got Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. This is from Joel Crawford and Janelle Macheda, right? They both direct. And the screenplay is from Tommy Swerdlow and Paul Fisher. Right, we got Antonio Banderas, Salma Hayek, Harvey Gullion, Florence Pugh, Olivia Colman, Ray Winston, Samson Keo, John Maloney, all giving their voices to this one. At number two, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. So Peyton Reed is back and Jeff Loveness writes the script. Paul Rudd, Evangelina Lilly, Jonathan Majors, Catherine Newton, William Jackson Harper, Katie M. O'Brien, Michelle Pfeiffer, Michael Douglas, Bill Murray, Randall Park, Corey Stoll, yeah, all doing their thing. I do need to see this one soon. And at number one this week, Adonis is back. It's Creed 3, people. Michael B. Jordan making his, I think this is his feature debut, right? We got Keegan Coogler and Zach Balin writing the script. Story by Ryan Coogler. And we starring, we got Michael B. Jordan, Tessa Thompson, Jonathan Majors, Wood Harris, Priscilla Rashad, Miller Davis Kent, Jose Benadires, Salence Leva, Florian Monteo, Thaddeus J. Mixon, Spence Moore 2, Tony Bello. Okay, I didn't know Tony Bello was up in this. I didn't even know Tony Bello acts. Terrence Crawford's there. All right. Okay. Jacob Stitch Duran, Anasia. Well. Okay, so that's the top 10 people. I think it's probably time we get into this week's films. All right, so let's go. Okay, people, let's start things off with a little step back, right? Gonna look at Bullet Train. Okay, people, so when I first heard, right, that they were doing this film, I figured I would check out the book. So that's what I did, right? I checked out the book of Bullet Train. It's called Maria Beetle, I think. I feel that's how you pronounce it. From Kotaro Isaka. Okay. So, yeah, I gave it a try. Didn't really gel with it, man. So, you know what I mean? I kind of like, okay, bounce. So I didn't really bother with the film, but it just hit, right? Just hit. So I was like, you know what? Should I do it? So yeah, I kind of figured, all right, I'm gonna check it out. So that's what I did, people. That's what I did. And yes, so, right, it is directed by David Leitch, written by Zach Olowesik, you know. It is produced by Kelly McCormick, Leitch, and Antonio Farouk. Jonathan Seller is on cinematography. Elizabeth Rolanza Dittier edits the piece. Dominic Lewis handles the music. Yeah. All right. So then our cast, we got Brad Pitt as Ladybug. Joey King is the prince. All right. Aaron Taylor Johnson is Tangerine. Firstly, Aaron Taylor Johnson, right? I always get him mixed up with that, the chick with a similar name, right? Because I always forget, oh no, there's kind of two with the similar names. It's very confusing. Anyway, yeah. Then you got he's Tangerine, and Brian Tyree Henry is Lemon. They're brothers, right? Both British, dodgy accents, very dodgy accents. We got Andrew Koji plays Yuki Kimura. Yeah, we've got his dad, played by Hiroku Sandaya. White Death is played by Michael Shannon. We've got Bad Bunny, aka Benito A. Martinez Oscale, playing the Wolf. We got Zazie Beetz as the Hornet. Logan Lerman is the White Wolf's son. Massey Oka is the train conductor. Karen Fukuhara is Kayada Izumi, the serving girl. We've also got Channing Tatum as a passenger. Ryan Reynolds is another assassin called Carver, right? So they're in it. And Sandra Bullock is Maria Beetle, the handler of Ladybug. Okay, so I feel that's the majority of everyone we need to know, essentially. The gist is this: unlucky assassin Ladybug is determined to do his job peacefully after one too many gigs has gone off the rails. Fate has other plans, however. Ladybug's latest mission puts him on a collision course with lethal adversaries from around the globe, all with connected yet conflicting objectives on the world's fastest train. The end of the line is just the beginning in this non-stop thrill ride through modern-day Japan. And that, people, is one of the weirdest parts of this film, right? It's modern day Japan, right? Because there's not many Japanese people up in the film, right? You see them in the background, but not really in the main cast, which I'm like, okay, Hollywood, make a big adaption of this. but you know, fine. That happens. It happens all the time, right? They're doing one of the gosh, there's that. I think there's a train film with a Japanese train film with zombies on, or a Korean film with zombies, right? And they're making an English version, or they've made. I forget. I lose track, people. But it just happens, right? I think they were doing an English. Well, they. Yeah, there was the English version of Old Boy, which. Oh, that stunk. Right? That stunk. Boy. I thought they were going to do an English version of The Raid, you know, which kind of already got done with Dread, which is crazy because they came out roughly the same time. So it wasn't like, Dread wasn't copying, but it was a very similar, right? Anyway, tangents, man. Tangents, right? So I just thought it was odd to do the film in the way they've done it, but with no, like, a load of Japanese actors in these assassin roles, because that's the book. It's all Japanese assassins and stuff. I think there might be one foreign person, I think, maybe. But yeah, it's in Tokyo. Like, you could have put it anywhere, right? If you want to make it international, put it somewhere else. Or still have it in Japan, right? But just have some more Japanese people in the lead roles. You know, it's very weird because you get all of these conflicting things all the time, right? Like, we need to do more. You know, it's just like, oh, you can't have a non-gay person playing a gay character, and you can't have a non-disabled person playing a disabled character, and we need to have more this and this roles and this and that roles. And then you just do something like this, and it's just like, wait, all of you people just a year ago were like, we must try harder. Oh, I'm going to be an ally. I'm going to, and that goes across the board, right? It's not just caring about black issues or female issues. It's about everything, right? Diversity is a swathe. It's not just, oh, well, we handled that and we handled that. Let's, you know, fuck everything else, right? It's so weird. You know, it's just like, you can't take the piss out of this and you can't take the piss out of that, but you can take the piss out of ginger people. Right, there's these certain things that everyone's just like, ah, that's fine to fuck around with. Not those other things, though. Right, and so it was just a weird thing watching this film and like going, huh, what is happening? Now, it pretty much went how I figured. Right, the book just irritated me. I didn't really dig the book, but I kind of felt it was very much of like a Japanese lilt. You know, when you read a lot of those type of books, it kind of runs in this kind of similar vein, so it's not surprising in that regard. But yeah, there's just too many things, like Prince. Now, they gender swap Prince in the book. Prince is a boy. In this, it's Joey King, right? And she's a lot older than what Prince is meant to be. Because in the book, you're just like, wait, you're telling me this little kid is convincing people? That just seemed ridiculous. And it's a bit more believable with a girl. Because, you know, dudes are going to be like, oh, okay, oh. Ooh, maybe she'll let me do a thing if I do this, but you know what I mean? So it's a bit more believable, but still, it's just like, what are we doing here? This is stupid. And it's just, yeah, it's a lot of weird changes, right? Like Lemon and Tangerine are brothers. They're not brothers, right? But the Thomas the Tank Engine thing in the book is weirder than what it is in this, Like, we have people surviving that just didn't survive in the book, and you're just like, why did you not go that other way? Right? And especially with the parents, that was a big thing. And for some weird reason, they opted to kill one of the parents off. And you're just like, I mean, they didn't even make the main body of the film. Do we just see him in a flashback? And you're just like, why though? Right? There's no real need. That, like, it was kind of cool that they were doing their thing. So yeah, that's weird. Why would you do that? You know, so there's these odd changes and these things which you, like, Brad Pitt is annoying. I mean, I should say the character is annoying, right? Everything's just like, ugh. But again, it kind of plays out like the book. So the fact that I was pretty much annoyed doesn't really surprise me. And we also got these things going down, like crashes and just other stuff. And you're like, okay, no one's surviving that. Well, no one's going to be able to do that. Right? It's just these things that didn't necessarily make any sense that were going down. So it's just kind of like, okay, what are we looking for this to be? Is it an action film? Is it just some ludicrous kind of goofy action? Like, what vein are we going? You know what I mean? But yeah, it's, you know, certain things aren't necessarily explained, or just don't really, it doesn't flow that well, you know, and the effects aren't the best. I'll say the effects aren't the best. If I can spot CGI and shit like that, that means it's not very good, because I can't see for shit, you know what I mean? So you know you're doing something wrong if even I can spot the shit, you know. But you know what? Listen, it made a lot of money. People seem to like it. I wasn't blown away. So I'm kind of like, I didn't matter. I didn't see this straight away, because I was not missing a thing. To be honest, the only film I'm like, oh man, should have seen that sooner, was Nobody. Right? A lot of these other films that I missed, I don't think they're great, you know? But hey ho, it is what it is, you know what I mean? But yes. Anyway, Bullet Train, it's got an ensemble. It's got a big cast. I've got a big cast. Everyone's like, the performances themselves aren't terrible, right? It's just the direction of the performance, right? That doesn't always necessarily feel right or make sense to me anyway, right? And again, that might just be me, you know what I mean? But I watch it on Now TV, but you know what I mean, it's everywhere. Apple, Amazon, or you know, or I feel it's on Netflix in the States, you know. So yes, if you didn't get around to Bullet Train, and you like a lot of these kind of, I'd say, goofy action flicks, right? But that's what it is. It's like Mad Max. The most recent one, I didn't dig it. Everyone dug it, right? And I kind of feel like if you like that, then this will resonate, you know? Yeah. It's one of those. It's like Everything Everywhere All at Once. I couldn't watch it all because of the fucking subtitles. But the bits that I've watched probably 20 minutes, half an hour. I wasn't blown away. But I kind of feel, right, with some of the goofy action and everything in that, if you like that, I kind of feel, you know what I mean? Bullet Train feels a bit like that to me, you know? So, yeah, this is just my thoughts, baby, right? You can like what you like. I'm just trying to give you a flavor of what I feel on this shit. So Bullet Train, It's a thing. It's out. Check it if you like. If you don't, I don't think you're missing anything. But yeah, that's just me, kid. That's just me. Okay, next up is another little step back, people. This time for a Shudder original. It is Slash Back. Okay, people, so Slash Back. You know what I mean? Look, things got a bit slow. Right, yeah, you know, sometimes you're trying to put stuff out, but you miss things. So, yeah, I was a bit late on Slash Back, but finally was able to take a look. You know, it is the feature directorial debut from Naila Inuksuk. Yeah, I've probably butchered that. She co-wrote the film with Ryan Kavan. It is produced by Alifa Aaron Arakuk Baril, Daniel Beckerman, Ethan Lezer, Stacey Ajalok McDonald, Alex Ordans, Chris Jurkovic, and Naila also produces. It's executive produced by Hassan Amarishi and Neil Matheson. Line produced by Jennifer Meisch. An associate produced by Natalie Novak Rempolkowski. Michael Brook handles the music. Guy Godfrey, cinematography. Simone Smith edits a piece. Zoya McKenzie is on production design. Art direction is John O'Regan. Set direction is Matthew Carswell. Emma Doyle handles the costume design, right? We've got Matt Watton, Aaron Sweeney, Adrian Stansfield, Monica Pavez, Larissa Palusk, Steve Newborn, Sean Hunter, Kayla Dubilius, Yvonne Cox, Alan Cook, and Stephanie Abbott on makeup and effects, and our cast. Well, we have got Maika is played by Tisana Shirley. Uki is played by Nala Juice Ellsworth. Lena is played by Chelsea Prusky. Jess is played by Alexis Wolf. Azu is played by Frankie Vincent Wolf. Framasi is played by Rory Anowak. Officer Peters is played by Paulette Matuk. Elijah Evan Inusk. Scotty is played by Scotty Killabook. Alusha played by Nikita Burke. Tanya Janice Alivituk. The younger Malika is played by Nivak Mike. Iris is played by Iris Swaddlepick. Lucy is played by Lorna Lawson. We got Officer Lethbridge is played by Sean Benson. Tony Conk is played by Christian Brune. Yeah, that's our. I feel that's our main lot of people. Yeah, I don't know. The gist of the film is when Maika and her ragtag friends discover an alien invasion in their tiny Arctic hamlet, it's up to them to save the day. Utilizing their makeshift weapons and horror movie knowledge, the aliens realize you don't mess with girls from Pang. Right? So, we start off, we've got a little girl on a boat with her dad, and he's like, taking her out, and he sets her up to take a shot, is it hunting, right? So it's this nice little moment. Then we jump forward 6 years, right? And all changes when kids get to that certain age, right? And so now she doesn't want to go out with her dad. She's hanging out with her friends. So we have all of that. Right. Then we just see, right, we're looking at a lot of different interactions between these girls. Like there's one bit, and this girl is kind of conning a little girl out of her money, kind of. But the little girl wants to give the money, but she's hoping for things in return. Right, use of the mobile phone to hang out with the older chicks, right? But then the other girls see her, like Makia sees her, and she's like, "What are you doing?" And they chase her down, but it's not like they're gonna beat the girl up. They're just like, "Return the money," and then they're like, "All right, let's hang out." So it's you're watching this thing, and it's kind of like, oh, it's moving in kind of a different way, right? And you're just like, huh. And you notice a flash. There's a bit, and you're like, was that? Did I just see a flash? Right? Which is the spark of this whole kind of thing. And I think it is very interesting because obviously this is like alien invasion and all of that. But I think, a big part of this kind of seemed like the relationship between these girls, between these friends, right? What friendship actually means. And then also that relationship with your family, your community, right? What it means to be a part of something. There's at the beginning, like Makia, she does, I mean, she's just like, ugh, this Inuit art everywhere. And like traditional food, I like KFC. I don't want to eat traditional food. And it's just like, ugh, I don't want to be a part of this. Like, why are we doing this stuff? I want to move forward. I want to be, I've seen these other things out there. I want to be part of that. And as it goes on, you see that shift, that change, that realization. Because we kind of see that you look at this. This is the other thing, right? And a lot of these films, you've got. It's all very black and white, right? One character's bad, one character's good, or you've got this group of friends and you've got shitty friends. And but then there's this good one who's just like so much better and, moralistic than the others. But this is gray areas, like because Makia, you look at it and you think, oh, okay, she stood up for the girl and blah blah blah. But then her friends just like, you're a shitty friend. Right. And you kind of see that there's what parts where she's just like, look, she'll help people out, but then she's just like, look, you're a baby, and putting people down in public. And it's just like, but you also see the characters realize these things. You don't understand. Yeah, that's probably not my best quality, right? Which is pretty big. And also, this is a group of little girls. You know what I mean? It can often take a while for people to understand that shit about themselves. So this film is moving kind of differently. And as I said, look, you go throughout the film and it's just this kind of using traditional kind of folklore and things, these stories to be like, oh, this could be a way for us to survive. And oh, we should do this. And oh, yeah, that's a weapon from blah, blah, blah. Let's use that. So it's, I feel that seemed to be the big thing rather than necessarily the horror element. Though it is like the horror, I thought the horror worked, right? And I thought the genius of this is it's these aliens inhabiting people. So, you know, it's a low budget film, right? And trying to get these perfect special effects, that's going to be difficult. But when you're like, these aliens are inhabiting people, right? They're wearing humans as a glove, essentially. So then you're able to have it look a little bit sloppy, right? That it looks a little bit off because, yeah, they haven't worked it out. It doesn't going to look, you know, like a proper person, right? So that aspect of it, it was just like, oh, yeah, that really looks like this alien, you know what I mean, using this person as a sleeve, right? Which then makes it even kind of creepier because you're just like, oh, that's so fucking off key, right? And then just the way they're moving, you know, the animals as well, right? Because you don't always have animals in these things, right? You don't always see animal zombies or animal vampires or, you know, I mean, that kind of thing. So that makes it even, you know, more intriguing in that regard. A little bit of this reminded me of, I think it was a New Zealand film, right? It's from Sci-Fi London in, I want to say 2019. I feel it's 2019. Alien Abduction. I think that was the name. Right. And yeah, you know, different films, but a kind of a similar aesthetic to it. But yeah, no, I enjoyed the interactions. I enjoyed that aspect of this film. Some of the acting is, you know, not quite there. Right. But the kids do a great job. Kids do a great job, and especially because you've got all of these different emotions going on, these hormones and everything. But everything also feels like, yeah, that's how the fucking kids that age would be acting, right? Oh, I'm going to tell on you if you don't. Well, if you do, I'll tell everyone you shit yourself and be like, oh, and the look of like, just... You know, outrage and just fear. Be like, oh, do not tell anyone. You know, just all of those things. It worked. It really worked. So I thought this was a really solid feature debut. You know, real solid feature debut from Nyla. So, hey, hats off. And, you know, it's a Shudder original. So if you have Shudder, and look, if you're a horror fan, you probably do, you know what I mean? But yeah, I think this is probably worth a check, right? So Slashback, it's out. It's also nice to get a film with a, you know, a different cast, right? You look at things like Scream, and it's basically a bunch of, you know, white kids running around. It's fine, right? Because I'm just like, look, there's different friend groups and all of that, so not everything has to be this complete mix. Because look, we know, depending on where you live, kind of can impact that kind of situation, right? And sometimes you just don't gel with, you know, people for whatever reason. But I think it's always nice to see different stories from different groups of people, right? And other people's take on something, right? So this is set in, you know, near the Arctic, right? So we got Inuits, and, you know, that's a different thing. So it is interesting, and it's like, oh, this is a fresh take. This is nice. I like that, you know? So, yeah, people, if you like that more kind of intimate tale, then Slashback could very well be for you. All right, it's out now. It's on Shudder. Enjoy. Okay, and we're going to bring things home with a Netflix original and the continuation of that classic BBC series, Luther. It is time for Luther, the Fallen Son. Okay, let's go. Okay, people, so it has finally hit the screens. I'm talking about Luther, Fallen Son, or The Fallen Son, however you want to go about it, right? This is the film continuation of the TV show that was doing big things on BBC, you know, created by Neil Cross, who also writes the film. It is directed by Jamie Payne. Okay. The film is produced by Gino Topping, David Reddy, Idris Elba, Peter Sherman, and Neil Cross. It's executive produced by Mickey Emmerich, Brendan Ferguson, Don Finley, Priscilla Parrish, and Chris Fiker. It's associate produced by Louisa Zabil. Music is handled by Lorne Balfe, Larry Smith on cinematography, Justin Wright edits the piece. Casting was Denise Shaman, Priscilla John, and Orla Maxwell. John Gary Steele is on production design. Art direction, we got Mike Wright, Justin Warburton Brown, Andrew Rothschild, Nick Palace, Darren McLaughlin, Ellie Jones, Rosalind Gregory, and Andrew Auckland Snow. Costume design, Susan Lyle. Set decoration is Liz Ainley and Liz Griffiths. And our cast. Well, people, as you would know, Idris Elba is back as John Luther. Oh my days. My mind just completely went blank there, people. Yeah. John Luther, he is back. We've got Cynthia Evro. And I was like, I'm looking at this character and I'm thinking, I know her. Who the hell is that? I know this chick. And yeah, Cynthia Evro. She plays Odette Rain, the new head of the unit, right? Her daughter, Anya, is played by Lauren Ajofo. We have got Martin Schneck, the former chief, played by Dermot Crowley. We got Thomas Combs back as Archie Woodard. Who else do we have? We've got David Robbie, Okay, played by Andy Serkis. There is Corinne Aldridge, played by Hattie Moharan. Okay, her son. Who was her son? God damn it, I cannot think of her son's name, who is kind of the instigator. I mean, yeah, he got murked, right? It was not necessarily his fault. Well, was it his fault? Well, no, it's not his fault he got killed, but he definitely was up to something. He did something, you know what I mean? Which we never really find out. That's the interesting thing about it. Never find that out. But yes. Yeah, I cannot think of who was her son. Yeah, I don't know. But he was there. He was in it. Other people up in this, we've got Dennis McCabe, played by Vincent Regan. Newman, played by Ross Whaton. Wong, played by Dan Lee. Derek Standish, played by Edward Hogg. Kachimov, played by Inia Gusk. Freddie and Jamal on the assault team. Freddie's played by Tom McCall. Jamal's played by Carl Spencer. I think they are our main gang. Right? That's the main group of peoples, I would say. I think that was everyone. Okay, so the gist is this. Brilliant but disgraced detective John Luther breaks out of prison to hunt down a sadistic serial killer who is terrorizing London. When this got announced, when they've been talking about doing a film for ages, just seemed a bit like, really? Is that what we're doing? Like, what's the point? You know what I mean? Who's going to be jumping to the cinema to watch this? Now, this did actually get a short little window in the cinema. I would be intrigued to know how many people did go, you know what I mean? But yeah, now it's on Netflix. So we open up with, this kid, right? He's cleaning, gets a phone call, told he needs to go somewhere, right? And it all goes pear-shaped from there, really, which you kind of suspect it would. Right, Luther gets involved, and this was a big thing because it's sold like he's breaking out of prison. So we're like, "Oh, is that how it's?" Because a lot of times with something like this, I would rewatch the series to kind of get into that space. But I honestly did find that last few seasons had kind of pittered out. Right, they weren't as strong as the earlier Luthers, like season one and two, yo, that's some good shit. You feel me? Season five, even season four, just a bit, I don't know, man. So yeah, I just couldn't really be bothered. But I thought that season five ended in a way where you'd be like, oh yeah, you ain't walking away from that shit. So, but he's not in jail. Not in jail, right? So you're like, huh? Okay. But he's investigating this murder. And I think one of the weird things is time, because, right, the load of time is meant to have elapsed from the moment he gets arrested to then this next big thing. But you don't know that as a viewer. Right? It doesn't feel like there's, time. And until someone kind of mentions it, you wouldn't really know. Yeah, unless some small bit of writing popped up on the screen and I just did not see it. I don't know, man. I don't know. Anyway, right? So this kind of spins from there. You know, he's in jail, finds out this murder's, this new thing has gone down. And then it's now it's how he gets out, right? And it's all ludicrous, right? You are what, if, because everything is very much reliant on other people doing a thing, right? And with this crazy thing, you'd be like, I cannot rest my life on this going this way and that going, especially the thing that leads up to the prison. Because you're just like, that, you know, because we just hear, I've got a plan. And it's just like, that ain't a plan. That's not, there's no plan there. Right? There was no plan. Right? The only way you're getting through that is by luck and chance. You feel me? Which, yeah. All dodge, because there's so many times where you've been like, surely he's, surely. But then other bits in that fight, you're like, why wouldn't you do, you know? So it's all very much like, huh? And then the whole get, like, they're getting out that whole shenanigans. You're just like, there was no real reason for the person to do the thing, right? Now, a thing gets dropped to be like, but because of what? Yeah. And you're just like, nah, that's still not reason enough. It's still not reason enough. Like, if you can pull that shit together, why don't you go after the person yourself? You know what I mean? There's so many things where you're like, oh, come on, man. Come on, man. Like the underground tunnel. That whole thing, because you just like, surely anyone in that situation would have just done what was asked, because you know homie ain't a danger, right? There's no evidence of him murking cops or anything, so you're just like, you would do that, you know? Because as soon as that doesn't, you go, well, you knew it's not going that way. Right, a lot of it is predictable in, right, you know what's going to happen, because that's the only way for this to move forward, right? So we have all of that, and you're watching it, and it's ludicrous, it's stupid, but it does feel like Luther, right? This, all in all, I have to say, it felt like a long episode. Right? Like you're binging episodes. You're watching 3-4 episodes back to back. I forget how long an episode of Luther was, you know? Maybe it changed. I want to say it's like 40 minutes. I don't know. But it felt like it's a few episodes back to back, you know? It's like we have some weird camera choices. Like there's a bit where he's standing on top of a building. And you're just like, okay, this ain't New York, right? This ain't LA. I don't know. Like, we don't really have rooftops like that in London. Now, as far as I'm aware, you've got some rooftop bars, right? But trying to get up on top of one of these skyscrapers and just standing on the edge looking as your coat billows in the wind, you know, it's just like, you know, it was a pointless shot. And there's a few of those, right, where you just like, that doesn't really do anything for this scene, for this story, for this moment, right? It's a few of those, which is, you know, it's kind of random. There's some bits that real look CG. Real. So like when someone's driving and you're just like, that's not a real background. Right, which I'm always just like, it's a car, man. You can do some real shit. You don't need to fake that. Come on, what are we doing? What are we doing? You know, but it's odd. The story's odd. There's things going down, and you're just like, especially when you're walking into buildings, right, where you know there's some grime happening, but you're doing it all, hello, anyone there? You know, making mad noise so everyone knows where you are. Your guard ain't up. You know what I mean? You're just like, come now. I feel you would be going into the situation a little bit on edge. A little bit, you know what I mean? What's around the corner? All right, shut up, be quiet. Especially when you're walking to the building, it's snowy, right? Black guy, you're standing out. You're standing out. You know what I mean? It's just like some little covertness, man. That's what I'm feeling, you know? But yeah, I think you technically probably could watch this without any knowledge of. Though I don't really know why you would, but you could. But there's things that, because, yeah, there's a character that's doing a thing. And I do recall he was doing something in one of the series, right? Which then makes you go, what happened? Because I can't for the life of me remember. Because I swear Luther knew and some other people knew he was kind of compromised, right? But, you know. So, yeah, if you've watched the series, there's these little kind of nuggets that you'll glean and will make you go, interesting. Okay, what are they going to do with this? You know what I mean? Which is fine. But yeah, you don't, you know, it's not really doing too much. But again, you have situations, right, where they're suspecting the thing and then they're cornering someone, but they're not really securing them, you know? So it's just like, come on now, you know what could happen in the, like, surely, you know what I mean? It's kind of odd sometimes. It's kind of odd, right? It's just doing that thing that TV does where the situations don't necessarily, they don't play out how they technically should play out, right? People are just doing things, you'd be like, no one's doing that. Like, it's just when the woman's at the beginning, it's just like, promise me. He's like, oh, okay, I promise. And just like, no one's making a promise. Or even if someone is, you understand that's not really a promise you can make. Right? So it's just when people are like, are you promise? It's just like, ah, come on, man. What are we doing here? Don't be silly. Shut up. You know? But it's, yeah, you know, it's fine. It's fine. It's not going to blow you away. But, you know, it passes the time, right? Andy Serkis's hair, though. Like, when he first come, I'm like, is that a drag queen? You know what I mean? The hair is so insane. It's so, it just looks, hey, mad dodge. Mad dodge, man. So, yeah, you're like, is that a drag queen? I don't know. That's odd. Yeah. But, yeah, I would say, right, if you were a fan of the TV show, you know what I mean? Then I think you are more inclined to be like, I want to know where this goes, right? So, yeah, if it's that kind of thing, then I say, yeah, you will want to check it out, you know? If you, well, it's like Bandit, right? We covered a few weeks back. It's along the lines of that kind of thing, like this film. So if you like stuff like Bandit, then yeah, you're like Luther. You know, it's some of those London scenes make me laugh. This Piccadilly Circus is a nightmare. It's one of those spots you've got tourists all over the shop. Right, you've got the Icarus? I think it's Icarus. The statue and people sit around. It's just cake, man. Like, it's so fucking crammed at times. But I love the way, you know, firstly, the cars. The police cars are getting there in no time. And you're just like, nah. You know, like, the traffic on those roads can be a pain in the ass, man. So there's that. And then just being able to track someone. No, he gets so busy, so busy. But yeah, that's the funny thing about like some of these shots in London. And you're like, nah, it's busier than that. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? It's, you know, when you watch a film and they go to a nightclub and there's hardly anyone in there, but everyone's acting like it's mad packed. And just like, there's never that much room in a packed out nightclub. This is like, it's so busy. I know, right? And you're just like, that's not busy, man. Like, what Amish community are you from? That ain't busy, yo. But yeah, as I'm saying, if you're a fan of the TV show, then hey, Fallen Son will probably work for you, especially if you really dug season 4 and 5, right? If you thought season 4 and 5 was ropey as fuck, then you may have issues with the film. But as I said, look, it passes as time. It's not going to blow you away, but it passes as time. The end, I was just like, did you figure that's coming? Right? See the thing, you were like, oh, they're not gonna, and they do, and you're just like, Jesus Christ. Oh, fucking hell. No. So yeah, if this views well, there most likely will be more Luther, but in different guys. That's all I can say, motherfuckers. So yeah. There you go. Luther, The Fallen Son on Netflix. Go check it if that's your bag. Okay, people. So, before we bring this episode to a close, let's take a look and see what's happening in the world of film, shall we? I think we shall. Okay, so yeah, this is interesting because I know like Misha Green, right? She was all set to do the new Tomb Raider, but that fell through. So yeah, it's good to hear that a new project is looking to be coming through, right? And that is I Am Not Alone, right? So this will be a film adaptation of Chris Hicks's short story. With yeah, Green set to write and direct it, right? And it's all supposedly set up as a vehicle for Jessica Chastain. Okay, so this is Netflix won the bidding war for the piece, right? That's all pretty big, right? And I think it's because essentially, right, supposedly there's a bare load of studios trying to get it, but Green wanted it to be on a stream, so Netflix won, you know. Supposedly story is about a mother of a young daughter whose life unravels when she suffers unbearable migraines that cause her to hallucinate creatures. She is soon forced to defend her family against a threat only she can see. Okay, so producing it will be Peter Katz, Scott Glassgold, Craig Flores, Aubrey Chun, Kelly Carmichael, Simon Kinberg, and Chastain. So, no word on who else might be in it just as yet. Okay. So, also, right, Scott Beck and Brian Wood. There's a bit of news about them this week, right? So, they're doing press for 65, which looks interesting. I'm intrigued by that one. But it looks like they are going to be doing a sequel to a feature they did in 2019 called Haunts, right? So, yeah, that, if you enjoyed the first one, that could be interesting, right? So supposedly what is the so the gist of the film, actually I'm not sure. I thought I had the synopsis. I do not. But yeah, we'll see what happens with we'll see what happens with that one, shall we? Now, as I said, look, there's a bit of news because they are also going to be working with Sam Raimi on a sequel to Drag Me to Hell. Okay, so yeah, out doing the rounds. Yeah, they talked about Drag Me to Hell. And yes, Raimi was like, you know what? We got something coming. So that could very well be interesting. You know what I mean? Because I like Drag Me to Hell was a lot of friggin' fun, right? That was a lot of fun. It was very fucking, it was creepy as fuck as well, you know? So yeah, we'll see what happens, you know. So yeah, watch that space. Also in some other news, Dexter Fletcher has signed on to direct Fountain of Youth, right? So it's been written by James Vanderbilt, right? And it revolves around the mythical fountain that grants immortality to those who drink from it. So that's all we know, right? Producing it will be Vanderbilt, Trip Vincent, William Sharrock, Paul Ninstein, David Ellison, Dana Goldberg, and Don Granger. So, yeah, let's see what happens with that one. If you, you know, you're still not sure about the cinema, right? But you want to watch Avatar, well, the digital release dates have just been announced, which will be the 28th of March, right? So on that day, it will hit Apple, Prime Video, Vudu, anywhere you grab your films. It'll be available in 4K Ultra HD and Dolby Atmos. Right, they haven't actually released when it will be hitting Disney Plus yet, but I think it's usually, I think it's a month or so after those dates. It might be a little bit long. I forget. But yeah, you know, that's coming. And, you know, there's a lot of bonus material that will also be dropping when the film hits, right? So you've got documentaries, you know, Building the World of Pandora, Capturing Pandora, The Undersea World of Pandora, The Challenges of Pandora's Waters, Pandora's Returning Characters, Pandora's Next Generation. You know, so there's a lot of stuff that will be available, people. So yeah, you know, we know that Harrison Ford will be donning the fedora one last time, picking up that whip as well for the fifth Indiana Jones, right? So that's coming this year. The Dial of Destiny is the name, and it will be dropping on the 30th of June with a rating of PG-13, which I think that's a 12A in the UK, I think, right? Yeah, you know, right? We'll see what happens. You know, I think a lot of times these things, you can see like edgier 12As and all of that. So, you know, it doesn't really mean anything, right? We'll see what it is. But yeah, Indiana Jones was never really a film full of swearing and violence, really, was it? So, yeah, there we go with that one. Right, Jonathan Majors is all over the place at the moment, and he's got a new vehicle coming called The Understudy, right? Which will be directed by Spike Lee. Yeah, so basically, it's about a man who is, well, what it says is, right, it's a story of life imitating art when the understudy of a Broadway production finds a role he's willing to kill for. So that definitely could be interesting, right? Okay, what else do we have? Well, John Wick 4 is coming. Hopefully, I will be seeing it soon. And just seeing what might happen, right? Yeah. So, you know, Chad Stahelski, right? He's directed all the films so far. He might not direct a fifth one because there will be a fifth one, right? So he was doing the press and he said, somewhere maybe somebody will do it. I'm always saying this is my last one. This will never happen again. And I'll say that now. This is my last one. Every time I come back to a Wick, there's been 2 or 3 years in between. That's a lot of time for a human. You know how many pieces of art or music or museums or locations I've gone to in 3 years? Huge. I mean, think of what you do in a year. What would you do in 3? Don't you think all of that would influence you? I just don't think I'd be very good jumping right into something. I need a little bit of time to get better. I've got to go practice. So I think that's because the idea is to jump on this straight away. So you can definitely understand homie wants a break. And also sometimes it is nice to get a new injection into something, right? You get different looks and all of that jazz. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But all accounts is that this new incarnation is great. So I'm looking forward to that one. Bob Iger, right? Let's end with this. So, you know, he's come back to become CEO of Disney. And man, he made some changes, right? And it looks like those changes are continuing, right? So there was word this week that a lot of the Star Wars films that were in the pipeline not happening anymore, right? And there's like Marvel, a lot of the release dates have changed, right? Kevin Feige said that they're spacing out the TV shows a bit more. You know, there's a lot of things happening. And it makes sense, right? It definitely makes sense, you know? And yeah, Iger had a few things to say, right? So about Star Wars, he's like, Star Wars, we made 3 what we called saga films, which is obviously the successors to George Lucas's first 6. They did very well at the box office, tremendously well, as a matter of fact. We've made 2 so-called standalones in Rogue One and Solo, Rogue One did quite well. Solo was a little disappointing to us. It gave us pause just to think maybe the cadence was a little too aggressive. And so we decided to pull back a bit. We're still developing Star Wars films. We're going to make sure that when we make one, that it's the right one. So we are being very careful, which, you know, nothing wrong with that, right? He also said about Marvel, there are 7,000 characters. There are a lot more stories to tell. What we have to look at, Marvel, is not necessarily the volume of Marvel stories we're telling, but how many times we go back to the well on certain characters. Sequels typically work well for us. Do you need a third and fourth, for instance? Or is it time to turn to other characters? Right? Which, definitely interesting. Right? There's nothing in any way inherently off in terms of the Marvel brand. I think we just have to look at what characters and stories we're mining. If you look at the trajectory of Marvel in the next 5 years, there will be a lot of newness. We're going to turn back to the Avengers franchise with a whole new set of Avengers, for example. So, you know what I mean? Because I think that's a big thing. There's a lot of people talk about this superhero fatigue, which I don't believe is a thing, right? Because it's all about good stories. So when you see someone, right, they're rushing out these sequels, people can have trepidation, you know? Because it's just like, was there a story or are they just trying to make money? You know what I mean? Because no one is like, oh, because, you know, just think now, The Last of Us. That's what everyone's talking about. And they're like, I want season two. So it's not like, I mean, we just had, what, 8-10 episodes? Do we need more? You know what I mean? It's like Walking Dead. It wasn't like, oh, do we want a fifth season? You know what I mean? Succession, Dexter. It's all, no one's just like, oh, I'm done. You know, when you see a show and it's like the story is just like, boom. Then you see people being like, hey, you know what? I can't be bothered. But that's because the story is weak. So as long as you're putting out strong stories, people will come. Right? That's the thing people are missing a lot of the time. So, yeah, what Iger says, very true. So I'm interested to see how all of this pans out. But people, that is us for another week. Catch you on the flip, man. Enjoy your film watching, and we will see you next week. All right? Peace.